Hello, 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 and welcome to the My Empty Hands podcast, a podcast where we talk about Kenpo and martial arts and just whatever else happens to come our way. I am Reggie Darden, and I have David with me today, David Duval, and we're just going to, you know, jump in and talk some Kenpo and, you know, kind of go from there. So just to kind of give a little background on my history, I started Kenpo in the early to mid-90s in San Diego, San Diego, California, to be more specific. So I started then and trained for about 2-3 years until almost got to my third brown when I left for the military. While I was in the military, I did a little bit of Taekwondo, a little bit of Hapkido, a little bit of boxing. Enjoyed the training, but, you know, still kept my love for Kenpo. Once I got out of the military, I then got involved in Capoeira, and I've been doing that for coming up on 17 years now. Kind of going back a little bit, about 2-3 years ago, I started at an American Kenpo school here in the Dallas Fort Worth area, and just really been enjoying that journey. As of this recording, I'm currently a green belt, and just, you know, really enjoying the trip. Excited for what comes next, and you know, that's kind of the brief rundown of my story. And, you know, as we chat, I'll interject, you know, other things that may come to mind, but that's my story. So, David, if you could go ahead and fill me and the listeners in on, you know, how Kenpo found you, how did you get started in martial arts, and just where did the journey begin for you?
Well, the journey began for me in Camden, New Jersey. I was 9 years old at the time. I was in a William F. Powell school, and it was just one day. It was a situation for me. It wasn't really that good of a situation. But my mom and my aunt signed me up for karate. So the first karate system I've done was the Goju-Ryu system under Tony Lingo in the New Jersey Black Belt Association. Now, from there, I got my Shodan 2015, and I was about 15, 16 years old. And then I got my Nidan when I was around 17, 18 at the time. You know, from there, I started switching to other systems. Like when I was 21, I started doing a Korean style from Korea called Tangsudo. I did that under Daniel Glickman. And his system was the IMA, Tangsudo system. So he studied under Yi. And from there, I've studied with a bunch of other friends, mainly just going to my instructors, my former instructors' seminars. And I met up with my Aikido teacher. I started doing Aikido from there. And I got up to my first Q belt for black. And from there, I started doing other systems, you know, just messing around with Tai Chi and Bagua, you know. So my first introduction to Kenpo was from a very great friend. I met him when I was at least a green belt at one time. His name is George Elmer from the ACKKS. And, you know, he wasn't my teacher or anything like that, but he showed some of the techniques that he has done. Mm-hmm. I went to a seminar of his a few years ago and basically taught one of my current systems of today, Capoeira. And how I found Capoeira was me just walking around Philadelphia, walking around Chinatown one day. It was, I think, in 2013 or so. I may be wrong. But yeah, this is how many years that I've been in martial arts and stuff like that. I have a life.
Gotcha.
So
just to kind of jump back, so when you first started in the Goju-Ryu, was the impetus of that your idea, or you know, was it a situation where it was like, you know, you were getting bullied and you needed something to get started in, or was it something that you asked to do, or kind of what was the trigger to get the training started?
I was bullied as a child. It'd be great for me to learn how to defend myself and what have you. So they kind of put me in that, into gentleman's class at Georgia Wilson. And from there, I just started going into the martial arts from there. So yeah, that's what's been happening with that, is that they had to put me in something so I could learn how to defend myself.
Okay, right on. So since this, even though this is a Kenpo focused podcast, since we both have done other martial arts, and you're actually technically the first guest to do capoeira like myself, kind of put you on the spot here. And how would you describe capoeira to someone that's not familiar with what it is?
Well, I would basically say that capoeira is a African Brazilian martial art, and it is hidden in a dance. When you see the gentlemen or ladies, doing movements, like the Jenga, it's more disguised as a dance. So that way, because supposedly, and there was a few elements of how capoeira was invented. Some people said it was for slaves to get away from, enslaving them. Some of them said that it was created as a gimmick, to sell certain things in a market. But capoeira is more like a dance with kicks in it, occasional, like punch, back fist, or
Gotcha. Okay. Awesome. Kind of, as we go along and as we talk with, I'm going to launch a secondary podcast focusing on capoeira, and so I will have capoeira people on the show from time to time in the future. But yeah, just to kind of, throw those things in there, that's part of your journey. So yeah, I think thanks for sharing that. So going back to the Kenpo, so you still currently train Kenpo now, or?
I've trained in, well, here's the thing. I've trained in Kenpo through a system called Effects from my teacher, Joseph Rebello. And they basically utilize the brushhold strike scenario. And some of their, forms are Kenpo based, in a way. And that's another one of my friends and teachers, Joseph Rebello. I looked at most of his videos online and seen that some of the, Kenpo stuff. So that's, my introduction to Kenpo karate.
Okay,
Just looking
gotcha,
at both
yeah.
my friends, George Elmer, and my friend, and teacher Joseph Rebello doing, the Kenpo movements, and also a third friend who is a Kenpo practitioner.
Okay, gotcha. Are there any other arts that you've trained in? So you mentioned the Goju-Ryu and the capoeira. What other arts have you?
I take another martial art called Shishiru, and that's like a system that was created by one of my teachers, Kevin Pare. He's done most of his stuff is Kenpo based, and he's trained Kenpo, Kyokushin, and some other systems of martial arts.
Okay. So since you've had kind of such a eclectic mix of arts, is what would you say would be kind of the reasoning behind trying different arts? Was there something that maybe you were looking to fill, or you just were just interested in just trying, kind of whatever came along? Like, what pushed the drive to kind of go to these different systems?
It was mostly friends in the martial arts who I've seen in a time span. Like every time we go to a tournament, I'm always seeing them. Every time I'm looking at their forms, I'm like, that's beautiful. I want to learn that. So it's kind of like cross training and training with friends and what have you in the martial arts.
Gotcha. Is there, I guess it would be kind of like picking your favorite child, but do you have kind of a favorite system, or you just are content with combining the different ones, or training the cross training, or
I
is
love the
there?
martial arts equally because from a time in my life, it kept me out of trouble. It kept me focused. It kept me busy. So if it was Taekwondo, I would train Taekwondo. If it was Capoeira, I'd train Capoeira. If it was Goju, I'd train Goju. If it's Kenpo, I'm going to be training Kenpo. I just love it all equally because it kept me in check in life. I didn't, I wasn't that much of a problem child,
Gotcha.
I was just, martial arts, and my parents knew where I was. So it's all of it's beautiful.
Awesome, awesome. Now, are you just kind of focused on the self-defense side of it, or have you done, competed in, tournaments, or, anything like that?
I've focused on the self-defense, and I've also competing in tournaments. I've won trophies in front of me. I got one, two, three, five grand champions. I've won in a tournament,
Very nice, very nice.
which was a big shocker to me because I thought I would never do it.
Yeah, no,
I
we
thought I
get to
would.
surprise ourselves sometimes.
Yes. So that's kind of like the thing. I've competed in tournaments. I've won first. I've won second. I've won third. I've won nothing sometimes, but I still took that tour. Opportunity to train, for that.
And these, I'm guessing this was in sparring, or did you do forms or weapons or?
I can say forms and weapons I've came, for grand. Sparring is a different type of animal. Like I've won third, I've won second. I haven't really won that first for sparring just yet. And I can be humble enough to say that. Still, with the losses of sparring, I still learn.
No, I'm of the mind that yeah, you learn more from your mistakes and from the losses than you do the wins and the perfect, the perfect moment. So yeah, it's important to get both sides. So
Yes.
yeah, I like that.
There was a point in my life that I've seen people in tournaments and I'm on the outside looking in. I wish I didn't do it, but I said it. I was like, yeah, man, that guy has a light bow and I could take him on. And then, a conversation with my big sister Beth in the martial arts to tell me, listen, put up or shut up. Go out there and do it or just stand there and be quiet. And I learned from that. I still, she's one of my biggest, inspirations in the martial arts. I met her when I was 9. I was a white belt with a bowl cut. She was a purple belt who, just came back from the military. She was in the United States Navy. She's taught me more in the martial arts, when I was under that organization, any man taught me, So she was like that big sister molding her little brother. That's what I like about the martial arts is that people like her molded me and got me ready for my other, situations of training. So, and now I get to pass that torch on and take somebody and mold them, but they have to be in the martial arts.
So yeah, I was gonna ask about that. So you're teaching, yeah, you're teaching as well, I
Yes.
would assume, or
Yes.
okay. And
It's a challenge. It's a challenge, but at some point, now knowing what I know today, when the people in front of me were teaching me, they were up for that challenge too. So it's just best that, I be up for the challenge too. I teach adults and children, and when they And for me, it's important to work with them when they mess up. It's important for me to make them repeat some of the things that they have done wrong so that way they won't create the habits doing that same movement.
Gotcha. So jumping back to kind of the competition side, so since you've had a lot of different kind of experience there, has getting into like the MMA field, has that been of any interest to you, or have you done any kind of MMA, or have any aspirations
I
to do
have an
anything?
aspiration to do it. I haven't like did some serious training for it. I've went through at least two MMA classes in my recent. One of the current styles I'm doing is Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I've been tapped out. But that's the only thing I've done so far. It's like right near MMA and taking up that one or two MMA classes. I'm still.
Yeah, no, I like it. I've taken a BJJ class here and there. It's not really my cup of tea, so to speak. Or at least at this current point, I'm not really looking to, you know, study it full time and, you know, work for the black belt and all that stuff. I would like to get a little bit more, you know, ground and grappling, you know, experience, just, you know, so I can, you know, add it to my toolbox.
That's why I did it. You know, I didn't really do it just to get a blue or purple or brown or anything like that. I just did it because at some point.
I think, you know, you're kind of in the same boat. You want to have those items to, you know, to be able to call upon if you need it. But, you know, that's maybe not your core system, so to speak, but just something else to, you know, like me, you know, you're a big fan of the arts and just want to kind of absorb everything that is available. And so I can certainly relate to that. So, you know, so now that you've kind of done a lot of this kind of different training, is there maybe something, you know, a style or a system or a teacher or something that maybe that you want to do that you haven't done?
A system called Limala.
Yes. Familiar with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
It's a rare martial art, so...
Very, very nice, yeah. Yeah, my original school, we had a little bit of a taste of some of their techniques, so... Yeah, that's a good system to get involved with. So yeah, okay. hope that you get to fulfill that dream and get that. Okay. Very nice. So looking back at the instructing part of it, so I would, you know, do you have any kind of aspirations for opening your own school and. If so, would it be a combination of all the different arts, or would you want to just kind of focus on you know, one or two, or, you know, kind of keep them separate or kind of blend them?
Yeah, I would most definitely keep them separate. As far as opening up my own school, you know, that's something I would love to, you know, because, you know, but right now, you know, I just am thankful that I can teach, you know, in the place that, you know, I do capoeira, because I teach at my capoeira school,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Okay.
So I teach whenever I'm called to do capoeira, I teach capoeira. And whenever that class is done, I teach, you know, karate, and then, you know, that's about it.
Okay. Very nice. I like that. It's actually, it's usually kind of the other way around. It's usually the capoeira teachers are teaching in the karate school, so it's fun for me to hear it kind of flipped in that instance. Yeah. Very cool. So in your time, all of your time training, is there things that you see maybe that you would like where do you kind of see the future of, let's kind of, you know, focus on Kenpo. Where do you kind of see that heading? Where would you like to see that go, like what kind of direction, and just kind of what observations have you kind of come across in your time?
I would like to do somewhat Kenpo karate, but not, you know, like I'm not an expert or a teacher of Kenpo, but I would like to in the future see me have a better understanding of it, so I can present it more better and have conversations with people of Kenpo. Because at some point, you know, I've seen that at the last event I was at, you know, they were all talking about Kenpo and what have you. And I was like, wow, you know, should I dive in there? Should I not dive in that conversation? Because if I do, I don't want to, you know, like slip on that banana peel and be like, oh, gotcha. So thank God I got a few friends to guide me along the way.
Yeah, no, I would say, you know, definitely reach out to the elders in Kenpo that, you know, affects us all. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, yeah, we're losing some of the, you know, the OGs
yes,
we like to say. So, yeah, I would say, you know, definitely reach it. You know, if you have that, desire and that hunger to learn and to know more and to get deeper into it, you know, definitely reach out to those folks. You know, it's one of the reasons why I started this, started this podcast, is to be able to talk to some of those people while they're still with us. So, I would definitely give that advice to not be shy. You know, they put on their uniform one leg at a time, just like we do. So.
I was blessed to have my effects teacher send me some Thai videos.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're familiar with the system of Thai.
Yeah, David German. Yeah,
Thai. And some of that stuff Kenpo based as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wow, you sent me some videos on this, and then I'm hearing some like one or two people in Jersey say, oh yeah, David German. I was like, yeah, I got some of his videos to my teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell me, like, yo, keep those things as treasures because, that's a rarity.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff. I believe you're a little bit younger than me, but showing my age, there were the Panther Production VHS back in the day, and
I think I still have a VHS copy of the 3-section staffs, Panther Production. I think I have the Panther Production DVD on Capoeira.
Very nice, yeah, with Mestre Amen. Yeah. Who, Capoeira sidebar here, but actually met Mestre Amen a number of times and got to work with him. Gosh, I guess it was a few months ago, and he helped me out with a La Daina I wrote, so I was overjoyed on that. And we won't get into what all that is here on this podcast. Yeah.
My Latinia was easy. When I got out to Formado, they told me, I said, yeah, make a Latinia. And I just said, well, play capoeira for life, play capoeira with friends, play capoeira.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah, no, as long as it's, from the heart
yes.
then it doesn't, you can say whatever you you're feeling. And that was kind of the inspiration for mine. We'll talk about that on another show. So not to confuse all our Kenpo folk, but I definitely like that. But going back to the Panther Production videos. Yeah, there was a David German video that really stuck out to me, where it was the Kenpo Jiu-Jitsu connection, and he was mixing a lot of the Jiu-Jitsu arm locks and wrist locks and such with Kenpo. And I just really, really connected to that and really enjoying that, because I've always seen Kenpo as really a real good base for connecting with other arts. It just really, kind of doesn't really matter kind of the art. Kenpo really just fits in well. So I really, really enjoyed the kind of the jiu-jitsu part. I really like, wrist locks and arm bars and throws and things like that. So to see combined with Kenpo, I mean, Kenpo already has a lot of that, but yeah, to just see how it just really easily fits in with a jiu-jitsu or a hapkido or, really any art. I've really, really enjoyed that.
Actually, Nindoru Goshin Jiu-Jitsu is, they have like Kenpo type movement in there.
Hmm.
Also Goshin Jiu-Jitsu as well.
So. Gotcha. Yeah, there's a lot of, cross-pollination and connections among the different arts. And, you look around enough and you see the similarities, and you see, where people kind of had the same ideas or maybe they were cross training and, said, hey, this works good. Let me incorporate that. And, that's, one of the great things about Kenpo is that it continually evolves and continues to change and allows, each individual to really, you know, fit that to works best for them. So, you know, once again, it's a great art to be a part of. So really like that. So just kind of going, you know, through kind of the different arts, look at, you know, doing, with the weapon, with, you know, weapons, or, is that, you know, be done a lot of weapons work, or is that something that.
Ninderu Kobujutsu usually, you know, has stuff to do with, the bow, the nunchibo, you know, basically the Okinawan weapons.
Gotcha. Do you have a favorite weapon, or one that you prefer?
My favorite weapon that's been seen all around, and you know, people have seen it thousands of times, is actually my first weapon, the bow. And my rare exotic weapon is the teko, which are the knuckle dusters.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, I'm a big fan of the bow or staff. You know, that's probably my favorite one. I kind of feel it's very, very practical. You know, a lot of things in the real world that can substitute for that. So I feel that's always a good. Yeah, I really like that. I like that. Very nice. So let's kind of move towards our kind of lightning round questions here. First one being, do you have a favorite technique?
Or
I would say probably focused on Kenpo, but if it's, you know, not a Kenpo technique, then that's fine too. Right? Whatever, you know, might be your favorite, or maybe a couple of your favorite ones.
Back fist to a spinning back kick.
Very nice. I like it. Like
spinning wheel kick.
Yeah, those are always fun to do. Do you have a favorite form and or set?
For my tournament form, Unsu.
Okay, Unsu. And is that a kind of what system?
Shotokan.
Is it? Okay, so Shotokan. Okay. Very nice. Okay. If there was anyone that you could train with, living or dead, fictional or non-fictional, who would you want to train with?
Train with Mark DeCastro's today.
Very nice, yeah.
Just to see if his cap was polished up. I've seen that movie, Only the Strong, and I'm like, okay, you know, just to be respectful, you know. But I would love to train with them. Also, a fictional Eddie Gordo.
Yeah, yes, very nice. Yes, from the Tekken video games, for those that may not be familiar, but those are good ones. Those are good ones. All right. And then so the kind of last question, and this is the hardest of them all. In honor of Ed Parker's love for, you know, jokes and humor, do you have a joke and or a, you know, humorous story that you'd like to share?
It's like a joke or a
just a joke or a humorous story. So my jokes are not exactly appropriate for this podcast, so I won't share one of those.
I do have it's not a joke or humorous story, but I like some of the catchphrases in Kenpo. Whatever the move,
that works.
Set principle of definition, there's an opposite and a reverse.
Very good. Yeah. No, that's a good one. I like it.
Yeah, I like that one, because when I'm working with some of the weapons and anything, I'm like, I usually put the technique or in an opposite way and get a result. Sometimes it's not the result I want, but I could work to that result.
Yeah. Very nice. Yeah, I like it. So yeah, it just kind of dawned on me that you know, since I kind of started adding that into my little set of questions here, I don't believe I've provided one of my own. So I will throw this little kind of story out in that. So at the school that I train at, we part of when we do our belt test is that we have to come up with three facts about Ed Parker, and you know, if we're testing with other people, you know, we have to come up with a fact that, you know, not someone else has already said. And on one of my tests, gosh, I believe it was probably on my purple belt test, I think, One of the pieces of trivia that I came up with was that the rock star Billy Idol was a big fan of Kenpo, and that had a bodyguard of his at one point in time. And my instructor was like, no, that's not correct, because everybody brings up that, Ed Parker was a bodyguard of Elvis and trained with Elvis. And so he's like, no, you're thinking of Elvis. I was like, no, I'm 100% sure that I'm talking about Billy Idol. So, there were the other instructors were kind of looking it up. And, sure enough, they found a picture of Billy Idol, and on Billy Idol's guitar, he has Ed Parker's, Kenpo crest on his guitar. He's had it that way for a long time. And so my instructor then was like, in the 30 plus years that he's been teaching, no one has ever given that answer before. So we had a nice kind of little laugh about that. And every test since then, when we get to the point of where I need to provide some, trivia about Ed Parker, my instructor makes quick to say, well, come up with something, but you can't use the Billy Idol thing. And
what was it? Was it the Universal symbol, or was it the Kenpo?
The American Kenpo. The American Kenpo crest. Yeah, if you look up Billy Idol, you'll see that he's got the Kenpo crest on his guitar. So yeah, I was pretty proud of that, but unfortunately, I can't use it on my test anymore.
Use it anymore? That's like going into a Street Fighter competition. You can't use Sagat.
Yeah. So, but I will try and find. I'm always on the lookout for other fun pieces of trivia. So hopefully I can come up with another one through all my talks with people and through all my research. Hopefully I'll get another one that I can stump them with on a future test. So fingers crossed there. Yeah. So I thank you so much for taking the time to sit down and chat with me and tell me about your story. Now is the time for, shameless self-promotion. So if there's anything that you wanted to bring up that maybe we hadn't touched on, now is your chance to say whatever you like, and then we'll close out.
All right, cool. Once again, thanks for having me. If anybody is in the capoeira, it's on 1213th Race Street, and we're open Monday through Saturday, 6:30 to 7, sometimes 6:30 to 8, depending on, the joda and how that, branches out, we're there. Mm-hmm.
Very nice, very nice. Thank you again for your time, and can't wait to get this out and let the listeners hear it, and thank you again for your time.
Hey man, thanks for having me, man. This is my very first podcast that I've ever did, so.
Right on. Well,
don't mind me being corny and all that.
No, can't get more corny than me. So we're doing great. But yeah, we'll definitely have to chat again, especially when I do the Capoeira show. We'll have to get in the weeds and really talk about that.
All right, so, thanks a lot. You.
Thank you for listening to My Empty Hands. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with a friend. If you didn't enjoy it, please share it with an enemy. If you'd like to be a guest, or if you would like to recommend a guest for the show, please email me at podcast@talkingkenpo.com. Thank you.